Blog Talk Radio.
This is Brenda from Brenda's World out of Kansas City, Kansas, on the west end of the inner city viaduct between the two beautiful cities of Kansas City, Kansas in Kansas City, Missouri. That was Miss Janelle Monae. She's a Kansas City, Kansas hometown girl. She has out Hidden Figures and Moonlight, two fantastic movies. Make sure to catch them. I heard that they're giving the new Star Wars a run for its money. She's a very talented young woman. And I'd like to thank her for her music. And that's an inspiring song, Electric Lady. I have a caller. Let me see who this is. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Barry Whitecrow.
Well, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Well, we started out with 100% humidity over here, so I'm doing better now than I was an hour and a half ago, so I'm good. 100% humidity. We had an ice storm predicted, the biggest ice storm in 10 years, but the ice did not land here, but the humidity came in.
The humidity.
So what can you tell me about yourself, sir?
Well, my wife and I both, we're on Blog Talk also. We have a show called Sacred Journeys. And we do different things. We're on a ghost hunting team, and we do some psychic stuff like that on the team. But we're also water protector advocates, and we just got back from Standing Rock. It was our second trip there. I have Native American blood, so it was something that we were drawn to do, to go out. And the first time we were there was in early November. We were there for about 10 days. And this last time we were there for about a month and a half. So we just got back home.
Are your bones warm yet from returning home from that cold?
Yes. Pretty much so. We're in Michigan, so we're kind of used to cold weather, but not like that out there. We'll say
I bet.
That, so,
yeah, I see the pictures of the tee. Did you have a teepee?
Oh, we took a trailer and stayed in it because we took so much stuff out. We took a lot of medical supplies out with us this time and stuff. So we were, we were loaded to the hilt.
You are on Brenda's World Blog Talk Radio. I'm out of Kansas City, Kansas, and the number that I sent to you a while ago, that is Donnie D's Words of Wisdom and Donnie D's Soul Sunday. He's my Pasadena, California affiliate, and he would be more than happy to interview you also. What is your opinion on what's happening at Standing Rock now?
There's a lot of smoke screens out there. It is definitely still going on. You know, they are still digging.
Oh my!
It's totally illegal. That they came down with an injunction that they had to stop digging, but that they are still digging. They have not drilled yet, but they've got the drill pad in place and everything. I just got some information this morning that last night the Morton County Sheriff's Department shot some of the water protectors in the face with rubber bullets, and then as they were retreating, and they had not crossed over the lines or anything. They were on their side of the fence. They had not done any, there was no violent actions taken or anything. They just opened fire. And then as they were retreating, they were shooting people in the backs and stuff like that. I've also seen that the National Guard, for some reason, has brought in, I'm getting different reports, but I know there's at least two, and I believe there's four rocket launchers there. I have no idea why this is, going on or whatever. There are pictures posted, though, on different Facebook links. The No Dapple one is a real good one. It'll show a lot of pictures and stuff. So,
yeah
it's definitely, things are really, I mean, with our social media here in the States not covering it at all, it's really terrible.
No, they didn't cover it at all.
You know, so it's up to us blog talk shows and things like that to get it out there. Because it's very strange, because like in Canada, and it's really big in France, they're really reporting it and stuff. So if you go to like BBC, not BBC America, BBC, or Algiers, or you can get Canadian news networks and stuff, they are covering it and showing, you know, what a, I guess, sham or whatever our state of the nation is in, you know, over this and stuff, and the actual going on, and not just, you know, sugarcoating it and things that are, you know, and just not reporting it at all like our media is doing here in the States.
Yeah.
So, very disappointing.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Absolutely.
So it's so, when the media, because in Kansas City there was 3 homicides this morning, and that's all on the news. And I don't really want to see that. I mean, it's nothing.
Right.
I mean, and I don't mean to be cold-hearted like that, but there's almost three homicides every day. I would like to see some news reporting on something that is has a positive. I mean, Standing Rock has negative things that are occurring there, but it's a very positive cause.
Right. Right. And I will say, you know, now we were there for, like I said, basically for almost 2 months total time or whatever. You know, when you've got that many people there, you know, close to 15,000 at its highest point and stuff, you cannot, you know, you can't control everybody. So there's going to be some negative stuff go on.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, in all the time we were there, I seen very, very little. The most violent thing that I seen happen was that they tried to cut some of the barbed wire and stuff.
I did get a complaint from a woman that lives in this local area. She has some people up there, and that was their main complaint about fence cutting, slaughtering cattle, if that's the way I made my living, was raising cattle to take to the butcher, I would get upset if somebody was eating it before I had a plan for it.
Right. Yes, I totally understand that. I will tell you though that while we were out there, I see no theft of cattle being brought in or anything like that at all.
Good.
The foods that we were there, that we seen, were donated and stuff. Now, the fence cutting I was talking about was the actual fence that they're using to blockade the road, not farmer's fence.
Okay, I'm glad you clarified that.
So, yeah, absolutely. I see no destruction of private property out there. I will tell you that while I was out there, duly noted from going in and out of camp so much and stuff, and I was run off the road by a vehicle that I'm positive was DAPL employees, just because it was a work truck. That happens quite a bit out there.
Sure.
They do. DAPL does send instigators into the camps and stuff.
Yes.
And I'm telling you that in the camps, the security, when you go in there, they check very heavily to make sure that there are no firearms, no alcohol being brought into the camps, because they are prayerful camps, and so they're, you know, very adamant about that. So there's no firearms.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but before I forget, no. Is North Dakota have a law like Kansas where they have changed the law where you don't have to have a conceal and carry permit anymore?
Okay.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
Are they invading somebody's rights?
Yeah. North Dakota is trying to change that law, but you have to remember that these camps are on the reservation.
Yes, sir.
So them being on the reservation, that's considered a sovereign nation. So you honor their laws when you're on their land.
Yeah.
It is just like the United States trying to invade Canada or Mexico, so to speak. The only people that have jurisdiction there are the BIA, Bureau of Indian Affairs, and then also the FBI can come in if it's warranted or whatever. But so, like I say, though, the camps are policed very heavily by their own security and stuff. And it is for nothing but prayer. So
that's awesome.
And when you go to the prayer lines or whatever, I led one day, was fortunate enough to be an elder to lead one, and I took my pipe with me and stuff, and we went to the front lines, and there was another gentleman there that he was an amputee, had one of his legs had been amputated in Afghanistan. And we were walking on the river and looked up, and less than 50 yards away from us, the National Guard and the Morton County Sheriff's Department had assault rifles pointed right at our heads, just the two of us. Now, all we're doing is walking on the frozen river, and I'm carrying a pipe, you know, so they can see we're not armed or anything. But we're totally in the area that, you know, on the river is, you know, part of the reservation. So they have no jurisdiction there. The fence, we were probably, you know, I'm going to say we were a good 40 yards from the fence where the, you know, no trespassing part that they're trying to hold the jurisdiction over is and stuff. But we actually had rifles, assault rifles pointed at our heads.
Oh, my.
We're just out there walking. So, yeah, this stuff just isn't getting reported, and, you know, it needs to be out there. We need to see what's going on. And the only reason the pipeline has been rerouted here to go across the native land is because Bismarck did not want it going across the Missouri River in Bismarck, because they were afraid if it leaked, it would affect their water supply. So, once again, we push it down to where we think we can take it over, you know, and just the Corps of Army Engineers can come in and claim eminent domain and take land away from the natives and, you know, do whatever they want with the big money here. So the protection part of it isn't just about them protecting the land there. It's that you have to remember that the Missouri is actually the longest river in the United States, and it feeds the Mississippi. So if there is an oil leak, if that pipeline leaks, it is going to affect everybody's drinking water from right below Bismarck all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. Anybody that gets their water out of that aquifer, out of all that along all those states, it's going to affect their drinking water and poison it, contaminate it. So, you know, this is something that, you know, needs to be looked at. A lot of people are saying, well, it's bringing jobs and stuff. No, the only jobs it's bringing is the people that are working on the pipeline right now, because once the pipeline is up and running, there are going to be less than 100 people maintaining it. And every bit of this oil is being shipped to China. It has nothing to do with the United States and us, you know, helping our oil prices or anything drop like that. So, you know, enough is enough. We need to start looking at alternative energies and sources and stuff. Not saying that, you know, this is going to happen overnight, because, yes, I drove a vehicle out there, but it's time for us to start looking to change things, you know, for the better of ourselves, our grandchildren.
I agree.
The seven generations, you know, we need to do this. It's just something we can't keep turning our blind eye to. So,
Yes, but I saw something on the news. I can't remember what show it was the other night, but it was about the electric cars and about how they electric cars get so many free plug-ins to recharge, and they're getting ready to stop that with the 2017 model, and they're going to make that not free anymore, and they're going to start charging for that, which I also think is going to, and I guess we all knew that was going to come sooner or later. So they're, I don't know, they're making, they're going to make that difficult on people.
Yes.
When they do get it, when they do get an alternative source, it's still all about money.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is, and a lot of it is big oil trying to stop it. Now, the camp there, the one called Sacred Stone, which is the original camp, they are setting it up right now to be solely energy efficient by this summer. It will be wind powered, solar powered, and some geothermal and water powered. They just built a school while we were there, finished it up. It's called a straw bale schoolhouse, and it's made out of straw bales, and then they plaster over it stuff, and it's very, very, very energy efficient because those straw bales are so wide and everything, and it's just amazing. And like I said, they're trying to set that up as a model community.
Awesome.
I encourage anybody, if you get the time, to go out and check it out. It's really something to see. My wife and I, well, I'm 60 years old. My wife will be 60 here soon. And it did us, it was a real honor to go out there and see the young people that are wanting to get involved with, you know, the change of things and stuff, of seeing cleaner energy and things like that. So it's really, really is what an eye opener and very heart lifting to see the young people standing up for what they believe in. So
yes, I have a friend, and her granddaughter went. She went the first time right before Thanksgiving, and she came back. She's 24 years old, and then she went back again. And she didn't want to come home. She just wanted to stay there. I mean, she had such a mind-blowing positive experience there.
It is. It's something to behold. It really is. It you know, us older people can kind of relate back to the hippie communes in the 60s and 70s and stuff.
Yeah,
it's all about love,
inspiring to see all of the tribes unite together as one people and stand up to the federal government. Because I'm a white Caucasian female, and honestly, I live in an area where slavery was prevalent back in the day, I'm on the free side, and there was black Indians, but it's almost we forgot about the Native American people, and it's so in a strange sort of way, it's so the people that Native Americans have brought a realization of unity to America, and we needed to see that.
Yes, I wholeheartedly believe that, and this is actually fulfillment of one of the Lakota prophecies, which said that in seven generations that all the generation tribes would unite all the tribes of the earth and come together to cut the head of a giant black snake off. Well, the giant black snake, of course, is the oil line going through the land. And it has brought, you know, I mean, there's tribes there from all over, from the tip of South America, clear up to the, you know, the Inuits and stuff. And the reindeer people from Norway and stuff were there. It's just awesome, the people that are there. And of course, the vets are there in strength. And, you know, but it's not all about the Native Americans, because with that
seventh part. Absolutely not. And that's one of the most appealing things about the movement is it's about everybody.
Right. Because once that seventh fire was lit, that created the prophecy of the Rainbow Tribe. And what
awesome.
That means now is that the Rainbow Tribe is all nations coming together to
yes.
stand up for Mother Earth and protect her and stuff. So, so yes, it's very, very humbling to be there and see it happening and stuff.
I'm sure.
But it's very heartwarming also. And, like I said, we've been back just, well, almost a week now. Since we've been back, we have just been totally exhausted. I mean,
I'm sure
mentally, physically, you know, everything. So, we have not done much since we have been back other than try and recharge our batteries and stuff.
Yeah. Get your energy back.
Yeah. It's a unique thing. To see, I encourage anybody, if you, you know, feel it in your heart, you should go check it out. But I definitely want to, you know, ask people also to, you know, if you can donate any food, clothing, or even just donate to the Sacred Stone Camp GoFundMe account. And they'll make sure that they're one of the ones that'll make sure that the money gets right to where it's supposed to go, not because there are a few bogus ones out there that
I'm sure there
on
is.
The bandwagon and stuff. And, you know, that happens. But if you feel it in your heart, to, you know, and people can give as little as a dollar or whatever, you know, it doesn't
Absolutely.
Take, you know, because if everybody's giving, anything that you can give to help is greatly appreciated. So
can you also tell me if this drilling is trying to occur on other reservations in the United States?
It absolutely is. There's one in Florida, which is going on with the Seminoles, and that's called the Sapo Line. There is one in New Mexico where they're trying to drill on the Navajo tribal lines. And then there is one in Utah where they're trying to get into the Ute Nation, the Ute tribe, and drill there. So this is one of the things that's going on. And then there's also a big mounting protest in Hawaii what's the name of the mountain, honey? I can't think of the name of the mountain right now on the Big Island. But they're wanting to build a new telescope observatory on the mountain, and they're wanting to build it up higher than they build any of the others. There's already like 14 of them on this mountain, but above a certain elevation, they've always kept it marked off as that was sacred land, because it was where a lot of the Hawaiians had taken their tribes people to be buried and use it for sacred ceremonies and things like that. So they're wanting to build this new telescope. And the people are just saying, you know, enough's enough. You've got 14 of them there. You know, if you want to take some of those down and build it down there, that's fine. But you've got enough. You don't need to bring it on to sacred land. Or whatever.
That's true.
And stuff. So, you know, I'm all for science and stuff. You know, I believe in that exploration, but it doesn't have to be on that sacred land. It can be built. You know, once again, we're just trying to take over, you know, anything that we think we can get freely from the natives that, you know, to steal their land back or whatever.
That's just horrible.
Bills are just used. It's just, you know, another way to go with it. So, you know, and what I want to say too about the water protectors, we call them protectors, not protesters. because when they're going up and when we're leading those prayers and stuff, we also say prayers for the other side. We say prayers for the,
absolutely,
for the police officers. We say prayers for the National Guard that's there and stuff, hoping that their eyes will be opened and see that, you know, hey, maybe I'm not doing the right thing here or whatever. Same thing with the people that are doing, you know, digging the pipeline. You know, we understand they have jobs to do. We don't want their families to starve, but we hope that their eyes are opened up and they can say, you know, well, maybe I ought to try and go, you know, go somewhere else where I can work or whatever. Because say once they get to the end of that pipeline, they're going to be moved somewhere else anyways, you know.
Yeah.
They're hired out contractors, so they've got jobs that they can go to other places and stuff. And we like I say, we pray for all of them. We don't want anybody to be harmed or anything out of this. And in the bottom line is we're trying to save Mother Earth for us and seven generations into the future.
We're having earthquakes on a frequent basis that are pretty intense. And what I have noticed is they're not actually reporting them like they used to. There was one in the Philippines last week that was a 7.3. There was three today in Italy, but it was a 5. I think the largest one was, none of them got up to a 6.0. But it's just the fact that how many earthquakes can Mother Earth take?
Yeah. Yeah, and how much is that being caused by our, you know, fracking and things like that, where you're, you know.
When the 8.0 earthquake occurred with the island of Japan, the island of Japan moved 8 miles. 7.3 is not too far from 8.0. And it's, if everything is moving 8 miles every time there's a bigger earthquake like that, It's no wonder that the climate change is just what
right.
it is.
Exactly.
So tell me once again about your radio station, please.
Okay, yes, we're on Sacred Journeys Radio is the name of our program. We're on Tuesday nights from 7 to 9 Eastern Time, and that's Blog Talk Radio, slice Mystical Awakenings Radio, network. And then we're on, like I say, ours is called Sacred Journeys. We're on Tuesday nights. And we talk about our sacred journeys. And like I said, we do different things. We have, since we are part of a ghost team, we have, we talk about ghosts and we talk about different psychic aspects of things. People calling to get readings and stuff, of course, but we also give like predictions for the year and things like that. And while we were at Standing Rock, the whole network basically just kind of let us take over so that we could give live reports from there every night, which was very, very nice of them and stuff. So we appreciate that. We've got some really good programming there and stuff. And of course, it gave us the opportunity to meet other, you know, fine people like yourself and stuff, and get to listen to your programs and stuff. And it's opened up a lot of doors for us, and we're very thankful for that. So
yes, I'm very thankful also for what the gift of the internet has done for my life. Mm-hmm. It's not all without that gift, I would not be talking to you right now.
Exactly.
So can I ask you something about the ghost hunting? Because I'm, well, I guess, I don't know what to call myself, a prophet, a seer, a clairvoyant. Do people give you a hard time about that?
No, not really, because we're on a very professional team here in Michigan.
Because I'm on my own over here, so I'm trying to figure out how to come out with this without getting a bunch of negative feedback. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I mean, you know, with so many of the ghost hunting shows on today on TV and stuff, you know, I think it's a lot more accepted than it used to be. Like I said, we've got we're on a very professional team here in Michigan and stuff, and so it brings us into, you know, they usually, my wife and I go in fairly cold when we do a case. They don't give us a lot of information, and they use us kind of the same as like trigger objects or whatever to see what we pick up on.
So they don't burn people at the stake anymore.
No, no. Thank goodness for that.
Yeah, because one time I was doing some research for a radio show and about the death sentence, and a whole bunch of people got killed before they got convicted even. They weren't even convicted. They just got executed.
Right.
I was like, oh, my goodness.
Right.
So,
yes,
well,
absolutely.
Thank you for calling my show today, and I'm going to get on there and follow your show, and hopefully we can have more conversations.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. Thank you so much for having us on.
Well, no problem, and thank you for Knowledge is Power, and thank you for passing on the information, and we'll have to make this a ritual and keep America updated on what's going on with the Native American Indians standing up for all of us, and we appreciate it so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. I'll be looking forward to talking to you soon. Bye-bye.
Hi. Thank you. Bye.
Wow, that was amazing. A good interview. And yes, it is going on all over the country, and the next interview, I'm going to have to ask him if the oil industries were at all the other locations before, or if they started after to try to distract from North Dakota, because they're greedy. So I guess they probably were doing it first. So let's go on with some music. I'm going to play some Smokey Robinson while I get the agony and the ecstasy. Dear Smokey Robinson, to you.
What's it all about? This crazy love. How did our two worlds entwine? How do I'm
Smokey Robinson singing The Agony and the Ecstasy. And yes, we all do need one another. I want to take a moment to thank Barry White Crow and his wife from the Sacred Journey Blog Talk Radio Show that has just returned home to Michigan from Standing Rock, and for sharing the information with us that the Native American Indians from all over the world are there along with the veterans, and they're being peaceful. They're praying and they're carrying on as the Great Spirit would wish, peaceful. And they're welcome to do an interview on my show at any time. So I'm over here trying to find some music when I found a whole bunch of music. Don't get me wrong. Oh my, let's see what this kid's listening to today. Nope. Don't want to listen to that. Let's see. Oh my. Let's see what this says. Well, I don't know. Let's see. I'm trying not to be explicit. Oh, that one really was Marla Sloop. But it's everything that Barry had to say was very, it's the way we should live, the way we're supposed to live, peaceful and protest in peaceful fashion and set an example for all other human beings. Let's see what she could con through the fire.
Just a song.
morning, y'all. We're here multitasking as usual. It's always nice to talk to another human being about things that you have in common. It makes it easier to be who you are when you don't have to hide who you are. So why bother? Because of this. This is Ms. Chaka Khan once again with The Best Is Yet to Come. Thank you. One of my favorite rock radio shows will be on at 7 p.m. Central Time, and that would be Apostle Jeremiah Cummings teaching the word to all that will listen show at 7 p.m. Central Time. And Apostle Jeremiah Cummings is a.k.a. Jerry Cummings of the Blue Note. You know, with Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes and Teddy Pendergrass. And yeah, that's him. Jerry, a.k.a. Jerry Cummings. And he has a new discovery out of Shreveport, Louisiana. And his name is Tony Sullivan. And he is getting ready to go on a tour, a Teddy Pendergrass tribute tour. And this is my friend from Shreveport, Louisiana, singing "Oh What a Woman," Mr. Tony Sullivan.
Yeah.
Collective Soul, where the river flows.
Thank you.
Oh my. Let's see what else I can find on this. I've never heard this album before. It's a studio album collection, and it's entitled Collective Soul. So, that was Where the River Flows, When the Water Falls. I like that song. Never heard it before, but I like it. Let's see. I like this one, too. This would be Miss Janelle Monae and Erykah Badu.
Baby, like, ooh.
Monet from Arch Android. Excuse me. Let's see. I'm looking for this song right here. I'm going to dedicate it to her Auntie Loretta. She would sing this song to me.
Like they know all about it when you get down and got it, and when you give it, don't see that it's all about it. Cause they can't be wrong to see, talk about it.
Used to walk around Granny's house singing that. So, may you rest in heaven, Loretta.
You in love.
September. This is Earth, Wind, and Fire live in Japan. Entitled Love Together, and this is Earth, Wind, and Fire. It's all just love together.
Bye.
Together, earth, wind, and fire. So we're going to go off the air today with earth, wind, and fire. Let's play this.
I'm
This is to all my best friends all around the world. Have a good one. This is Brenda from Brenda's World on the west end of the inner city. Bye, Doc, in Kansas City, Kansas. Oh, baby,